Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks, and happy Monday to you. I hope that you had a great weekend. We started a brand new series this past weekend called Evermore Proclaim, where we're looking at how Christmas reveals the song of your heart. And really, the idea behind the series is that there's this weird, ironic dichotomy in our culture that you can say the word Christmas and everybody's happy, and they talk about plans and presents and decorations, and then you say the word Jesus, and everybody awkwardly gets quiet. And the reality is that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. So why do we not see those things? It's a dichotomy that we see in the songs that we sing, the carols that we sing. And so we want those carols to become kind of anthems of worship. And so this week we began by looking at the exile. And we said that a physical exile means that you're cut off from a physical home. In other words, you know, there are about 82 million refugees in the world, people who've been cut off from their homes. Maybe a couple of the most severe of those in our world right now are going on in the South Sudan and in the country of Venezuela. But in Israel's history, the exile wasn't a crisis, it was the crisis. And for 136 years, starting in 722 BC, Israel was exiled four separate times. The first time to Assyria, the next three times to Babylon. Babylon overthrew Assyria and just continued to raid Israel. So if you think about that averaged out, and it certainly doesn't average this exactly this way, but average it out, that means about every 35-ish or so years, Babylon and Assyria would come and they would raid Israel and take out all the young people. The closest thing that I could use maybe to describe it as a metaphor would be if you could imagine in America all of the all the middle schools, high schools, and elementary schools being empty because all of the young people have been taken to Canada. Let's say if Canada raided us or to another country comes in and raises, it would just be devastating. And so the prophets spoke to this, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and they talked about the devastation, and they talked about the fact that God wasn't silent. God wasn't absent in it. We talked about how if Christmas carols could be written in their day, they would sound very differently. I actually sang a little Christmas carol made up from Isaiah on Sunday. This verse is in Isaiah 54, where he says, your bed will be a mattress of maggots covered in a blanket of worms. God does not turn a deaf ear to his people when they hurt. And yet people were cut off. They were exiled from their promised land, from their home. And I think what we eventually learn is that, you know, the song that we talked about this Sunday, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here, that, you know, the connectivity between the exile and Christmas is really separated by about 500 years. I mean, eventually the people come out of exile when Babylon's overthrown by Persia. A lot of the Hebrews go home, and you realize, wait a minute, how does the Son of Man, how does this Jesus birth at Christmas, I mean, how does it answer the exile? And the reality is the physical exile that Israel experienced, their historical crisis, was really just an example of a spiritual crisis, that we are all exiles. We're exiles from Eden. Adam and Eve chose to listen to God's enemy rather than God, their father. And because of that, they were cut off from Eden. As a matter of fact, there's an angel that stands at the gate with a flaming sword. And they are cut off from Eden, exiles, spiritual exiles, and all who would come after them are the same. Every man and woman born right of man has passed down to them the sinful legacy of Adam and Eve. But we know that we have a hopeful future. If Jesus came the first time at Christmas, man, you can trust that he's going to come back sometime. So there was the first coming at Christmas, which is great. There's a second coming in the future, which is even better. But right now we live in the in-between. We live in the middle. And so it's important for us to recognize that we don't live in the promised land. We can't live for the promised land. We live in exile. So we have to be very careful that we don't choose the comfort of our kingdom over the disruption of exile. It's okay to be comfortable. It's okay to be successful, but you can't live for it. If you do, you'll be sorely disappointed and you're going to end up empty. Rather, Christians hold those two things in tension. The world where we live and the world that is to come. We hold on to both of those things. So that's why Jeremiah said to the people who were taken into exile in Jeremiah chapter 29, he tells them, hey, plant gardens, build houses, pray for the peace of the city. And he meant the city of Babylon that they were exiled to. He told them to marry, build houses. In other words, you're going to live as a citizen of Israel in the city of Babylon. You are exiles. It's an example of our spiritual exile. And the reality that we live in is that we're not in our ultimate home. This world will never be it for us. We live in this world for the sake of another world. You know, Adam and Eve are exiled out of Eden, and really in that first lengthy season in Genesis, it kind of culminates with people trying to build a tower to reach God, to become God. They reflect Adam and Eve in that. And yet the tower is a failure, and it's called the Tower of Babel, right? And it's the precursor to Babel. And we've always tried to work our way to God, but we can't do it. So the exile doesn't end until heaven, until we reach our ultimate home. But we are grateful to God that he came to us in the incarnation. Jesus was holiness and humanity wrapped in humility. So we can live incarnational lives, that God is alive in us, that he is what animates us and gives us life. We, the citizens of another kingdom, we, the ones who hold in tension the foreign and the familiar. So what? So we can rejoice, because Emmanuel has come and he has ransomed us. Eden's ultimate exiles have come home to their heavenly Father. I'm going to pray that into reality for us today, and I'll give you the chance to pray. God, what a great truth Christmas is for us, that as we sing the words, O come, Emmanuel, God, that's actually, it's a prayer of our hearts that you would indwell us, that just like you were incarnate, God, we would live incarnational lives, indwelt by you, serving the world, a foreign country, not our home, but God, a place where we put down roots, that we build houses, that we plant gardens, that we marry, that we raise children if we choose. God, we do all of that because we have the promise that you're coming for us, that someday you will take us to the promised land. And because of that, God, we can be rooted, firmly rooted in the joy of today. I pray you'll grant us that hopeful momentum to see the world the way that you see it. That, Lord, your coming was good news for the world. Help us to be part of it. In your name we pray. Now you take the time to pray as you begin your day.